A very good morning to everyone here in the sanctuary, and as well those of you who are at home worshiping the Lord with us. From the video, we can see that those of us who need a strong shoulder to lean on, Philbert will be available. So today, we are looking at chapter 10 of the book of Ecclesiastes, Behaving Sensibly in a Foolish World. And so I got this picture from Google about this guy who was taking a nap on the railway track. Not very sensible for him. Let me begin this morning's sermon by relating to you some true story. These are true incidents that happen to show you how stupid people can be. For example, there was a man in Johannesburg, South Africa. He shot his 49-year-old friend in the face, seriously wounding him, while the two of them practiced shooting beer cans off each other's head. You see how silly people can get, right? Another example, the Chico City Council of California, they enacted a ban on nuclear weapons, setting a $500 fine for anyone detonating a nuclear weapon within city limits. In Singapore, when you litter, how much fine is it? How much fine? Is it 500 or 1,000 Singapore plus a corrective work order? But in California, $500 fine for detonating a nuclear weapon. You see the absurdity? Another true story, well, this woman, one day she came home to find her husband in the kitchen, shaking frantically with what looked like a wire that was running around his waist towards the electric kettle, intending to jolt him out of this deadly current that she perceived. She whacked him so hard that he broke his arm in two areas, in two places. Till that moment, her husband had merely been happily listening to his Sony Walkman. When Stan Cadell wanted to wash his Chevrolet, he backed his car into a foot of water in the Mississippi River at a place called Hannibal, Missouri. And when he got out of his car floated away downstream some distance. And according to a traffic police who was on the scene, no action would be taken against the driver because, I quote, "You can't give a ticket to a stupid person." See, folly is an issue frequently addressed in Scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs and, of course, in Ecclesiastes. It suggests a lack of good sense, a lack of foresight, failing to realize the consequence of a stupid action before it occurs. And our scripture passage for today in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 warns us against the danger of folly. So let us stand as we read the word of God together. So though we will be preaching, I'll be preaching the entire chapter, we will just read the first 9 verses first. So let's read the word of God together. Dead flies make the perfumes ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground like slaves. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him and breaks through the wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. Let us pray. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, in our most honest moments, we must confess that we have done foolish things in our lives that displeases you. Instead of trusting you, we depended on our own human wisdom and we make foolish decisions. So this morning, as we listen to your word, may your Holy Spirit teach us how to live sensibly in this foolish world, so that our life and our ministry may reflect godly wisdom that comes from you, for our Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. In our text for today, Solomon talks about foolishness, just to help us understand accurately the correct interpretation of what is a fool. The word fool, or is cognates in the biblical sense, is not necessarily referring to a person who is below, his IQ is very low, so it doesn't refer to a stupid person in that sense. A foolish person is not necessarily someone with a low IQ. Instead, the fool is someone who lacks the proper fear of God, and therefore it is prone to go in the wrong direction in life. So that's the biblical understanding of a fool. And the word fool and folly occurs 9 times in this chapter. So that is the theme of this. So if you follow the sermon outline in your oikos, first of all, let us look at, watch out for the signs of foolishness, verses 1 to 3. And here Solomon gives us 3 very obvious signs of foolishness. So firstly, he says foolishness stings, verse 1. So let me read verse 1 again. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. This is an experiment that you can try out in the privacy of your home. All you need is a fly swatter and your mom's or your wife's most expensive perfume. So you swap dead a few flies and you put it into your mom's or your wife's expensive perfume, and then see whether what Solomon says here is true or not, after several days, whether it will sting. Now, of course, if you really go ahead and try this experiment, let me warn you, don't say that I never warn you of the consequences, what your mom or your wife will do to you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, we already seen how Solomon compared a good name to fragrant perfume. And now he uses the same analogy again. A good reputation has the fragrance of an expensive perfume, but just a little foolishness can ruin and sting up one's reputation like dead flies in perfume. Very few people in the world are completely foolish in everything they do. Very few. But it only takes a little foolishness to make our lives sting. A moment of folly can ruin a life of dignity and honor. And there are enough examples of people whose good beginnings are marred by a foolish moment or two in their lives. People who have gained a good reputation because they have made significant contributions to society, to their countries, but a single wrong and foolish choice ruined everything. A head of state's years of contribution to our nation was irreversibly stained because he was in a drunken stupor while on official duty representing our country in a neighboring country. So what Solomon say here is true. A little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. So as dead flies gives a foul stench to perfume, a little indiscretion tarnishes the name of a wise and honorable person. So this is the Lord's warning in this verse. Why is one person foolish and another person wise? What determines that? I hope in your CG you have discussed this question. It all depends on the inclination of the heart. And so this leads us to our second point. Secondly, foolishness strays. Verse 2. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. Now, Solomon is not referring so much to our physical heart per se. Our physical heart has nothing to do with wisdom or folly. It is one that pumps blood. And of course, the latest medical science tells us that it does affect a bit of our emotions as well. In biblical imagery, the heart is the very center of a person's life. It's the very center of our life. It is the seat of our motivation, the master control center within us that governs the issues of life. And the Bible in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 instructs us, therefore keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So what we are on the outside depend a lot on what we are really on the inside. Our actions flow from the inclination of our heart. Therefore, Solomon in Proverbs 4:23 exhorts us to guard our hearts with all vigilance. You see, the scripture often depicts the right hand of God as where God is. So for example, Psalm 121 verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. It's a picture of protection and power and the very presence of God on the right hand. So when Solomon says, going back to Ecclesiastes, when Solomon says that the heart of the wise inclines to the right, he's actually saying that the wise person always follows God's way. He's inclined to the right. But this is not so for the fool. Instead, the fool gravitates towards that which is wrong. And what attracts him is the excitement and the adventure and the pleasure of doing wrong things. So let me say something to the young people in our midst. This is very crucial, the inclination of your heart. So you can decide today whether you would be wise or foolish, whether you want to incline your heart to the right or to the left. It's a decision that you have to make. The choice is yours. Nobody can make that decision for you. Many young people give into temptation and become involved in sin, in some sin that they think wouldn't be found out. They ignore the advice and the cautions by their parents, maybe by their friends, maybe by the youth pastor. And the result of the foolish actions is obvious for all to see. The mildest result would be an ineffectual Christian life. The worst is completely falling out away from God, falling completely away from God. And in between, there may be drug abuse, some other addictive habits, broken friendships, hurt feelings, an unexpected disease, and unwanted pregnancy. So talking about unwanted pregnancy, a pastor friend of mine told me that he was shocked one day when his daughter, who was studying in a leading junior college in Singapore, she came home one day and told the father that at the assembly time, the principal told the students, the top JC in Singapore, I wouldn't name the JC, the principal in the assembly mentioned to the students that their JC is not only top in Singapore in terms of studies and many other areas, but also had the dubious distinction of being first in the number of abortions done by their female students. We're talking about Singapore, top JC. The Bible says that the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Hence, it is inclined to the left to do the wrong. That's why this morning, during our worship service, and even during the pre-meditation time as well, we are reminded of God's grace. And it's always a good time, and as we partake of the Lord's Supper, to seek God's forgiveness so that we can incline our heart back to the right, back to God again. To incline our heart towards God, there must be a deep-seated and heartfelt pursuit in the right direction. There must be effort involved in it. A casual approach is not enough. Inclination to God must be a pursuit of God, like A.W. Tozer said in one of his books, Pursuit of God. Thirdly, another sign of foolishness. So foolishness not only stings, it not only strays, and thirdly, it shows. Foolishness shows. Verse 3, even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he's a fool. You can't miss a fool in public because his folly shows. A fool cannot disguise what he is, who he is. He sticks out like a sore thumb in public. His actions and his words, in fact, everything about him, show him to be the fool that he is. He only has to walk down the road and his foolishness is on display for everyone to see. And we have all seen people who draw attention to themselves by the action, by the behavior, and by the way they dress, the way they portray themselves. They think that they are the latest word in fashion, but really they are saying far more about themselves than anything else. And this reminded me of on one occasion where there was an MRT. I saw this pretty lady. On one occasion, a young pretty lady was wearing a t-shirt with the following words in bold display: I pee on my bed. Now, while I was obviously amused by the words that she wore on the t-shirt, and also admire her courage to wear such a t-shirt at first, and I later realized how silly she was. I could not understand why a pretty young lady would make such a negative statement about herself in public. I could not think of a reason until I remember Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 3. Foolishness shows. She was craving for attention and she got what she wanted. And that is how fools behave. You cannot miss them in public. So Solomon asks us to watch out for the signs of foolishness, the three of them. It stings, it strays, and it shows. Then the second part of the chapter, he talks about guarding against foolishness, how to guard against foolishness, verses 4 to 20. And he gives us, if I remember correctly, six things that we must watch out for. So firstly, he says, exercise self-control. Verse 4, if the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. You see, a fool does not know how to control his anger, even in the king's presence, and therefore may court his own death. Because in the king's presence, if you don't behave properly, you know, you'll be executed. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 14 says, a king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. And again, in Proverbs 25, verse 15, with patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. And of course, Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. See, when one person is angry, especially if the person is in a position of authority, the calmness of another may restore that fragile relationship. So Solomon's counsel here has some practical implication for us today. I hope you discussed this in your CG, right? How do you respond when your boss is angry with you through no fault of yours? Of course, when you have done something wrong, you better take it to heart and make amends. But if you have done nothing wrong, but your boss is still angry with you, how do you respond when your boss is angry with you through no fault of yours? There are two ways you can respond. You can act foolishly and stomp out of the office in the presence of your boss, or you can respond calmly by keeping your cool and composure. Examine the issue to see if there is any justice in what was raised, and then you learn from it. And if you genuinely cannot find any reason for his anger, then give your boss the benefit of a doubt. Maybe last night he had a quarrel with his wife. So giving him the benefit of a doubt will do a lot of good. By the way, this is wise counsel for the home as well, whether you are responding to your angry parents or to your angry spouse. So instead of shouting back, give a soft answer. Show deference to the person, whether it's your parents or your spouse, to the person who is offended. To show deference is to respect another person's feelings and rights and opinions. You may have yours, but you respect other people's rights and feelings and opinion. Remember, even a king can be pacified and appeased. How much more your parents and your spouse? So exercise self-control is the first step to guard against foolishness. Then secondly, learn from our mistakes. Verses 5 to 7. There is an evil that I've seen under the sun, as you were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in a low place. I've seen slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground like slaves. History is replete with fools occupying high positions of authority. If you study ancient Roman history, you will know that it was told that Emperor Nero was playing on his fiddle while Rome was burning. Another Roman emperor by the name of Caligula, he proposed that his horse, the horse that he was riding on, be elected consul and dress the animal in purple's blanket. Can you imagine how silly people can get? It's the emperor. And he said that his horse must be in the council as well, be an elected council member. In more modern times, of course, we have don't have time to go into detail. We have some years back, Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, and it shows that foolish people can be very dangerous. We should thank God for our government, who understands this principle and therefore has sought to renew its leadership by choosing some of the best people available to lead our nation. And I think many churches need to learn from our government. Many churches do not plan for succession. And we always have this problem in many churches, but this is something that we can learn from our government. We are coming to our third time, and we are going to our fourth time of leadership succession within our government. And I always admire LKY, because at the height of his political power, he was willing to let go of his power so that he may groom the next generation. And this is something that we can learn from them, making sure that the top people are, I'm not saying that our government make no mistakes, but I'm just saying that they make sure that the best people are on leadership position. And we should be very grateful for a government who is tough-minded and willing to put the best people in charge and to pay them well and don't apologize for it. I know there are a lot of views on that. In many countries, where they pay their national leaders poorly. I always believe when you pay peanuts, what do you get? Monkeys. When you pay peanuts and when you will get monkeys. And therefore, in many nations around the world, even today, while the leaders, national leaders, are paid poorly, but the amount of money they rob the people through corruption is more than if you could have paid them well. And this is what Solomon is saying here. So the text warns us about people who are in high position of authority within a nation, but who are foolish people. The third, the word error in verse 5 refers to the inadvertent mistake a ruler sometimes make. And in particular, Solomon is referring to putting the wrong people in positions of power, in high positions. Even the best leaders can sometimes make such a mistake by making a wrong judgment call on a person's character, by placing a person with a serious character flaw in a position of leadership. But worse than making a judgment error is not learning from the mistake. To save face, fools are kept in high positions where they continue to do the maximum damage to the countries, the companies, and even churches. Because when wrong people are put in position of authority, when fools are put in, then woe to that nation, the company, or that church. Third thing, third step we can guard against foolishness is to think before we act. Verses 8 to 11. He who dig a pit will fall into it. So in our school days, we read about this proverb, he who digs a pit for his brother will fall into it. It comes from Proverbs and it comes from Ecclesiastes as well. So he who dig a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who split logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. Let me clarify that Solomon is not saying that since every job has its own occupational hazard, therefore we should not work. He's not saying that. It may imply that, but he's not saying that. Because later in the same chapter, you shall see later in the sermon, he will speak against laziness. So he's not saying that you should not work. Rather, he's urging us to use our brain and think ahead, because there are risks bound up with any task, any job that we do, there will be risk involved. So if we think ahead and take certain safety precautions, then we will prevent ourselves and others from getting injured unnecessarily. And so in these few verses, Solomon describes 5 dangerous situations where we may be injured unless we are careful to take the necessary safety precautions. So there's a standard procedures. By the way, fools do not see the danger in these situations. That's why we quickly rush into it. In the first 2 situations, he warned against the foolishness of being malicious. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. The person who digs a pit as a trap for someone else to fall into it, especially his enemy, may himself fall into it. So no use being malicious. A malicious person is a foolish person, because he may fall into the same pit that he digs for his enemy. Or the person who breaks through a wall, the idea here is to remove the boundary of a neighbor's property, may himself be bitten by a snake that is hiding in the wall. Because in our today, our wall don't have snakes, but in those days, there are some holes in the walls, and when you break the wall, a snake may come and bite you. So when you want to extend your boundary, you use a manipulative means to get more boundary than your neighbor, you yourself may be caught in it. So let's say, for example, if you go to the court and do that, in the end, the judge may rule against you. That's the idea here. So do not be malicious. A malicious person is a fool, because it may hit back at you. Frequently in scripture, falling into a pit that one has dug is a picture of poetic justice. And being bitten by a lurking snake is an image of divine retribution. I don't have time to look into it. For example, Psalm 74 verses 14 to 16 and Psalm 57 verse 6. So if we are wise, we should listen carefully to this warning in scripture. Let me reiterate it. It does not pay to be malicious. It's the warning from scripture. It does not pay to be malicious. Why? Because we may get hurt ourselves. It is like a boomerang. The evil that you plan for others will boomerang and come back to hit you. It will hurt you more than your enemy. It will be unexpected, because you will fall into it yourself, or you'll be bitten by a snake lurking on the wall. I cannot help but to think of Haman in the book of Esther, who plotted against Mordecai and the Jews. In fact, his plan was to exterminate the Jews, wipe them off. And therefore, he commanded a gallows to be built with the king's permission, hoping to hang Mordecai on it. Of course, we all know the story in Esther. He himself was hung on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. So God is saying to us, be sensible. Do not be malicious. No matter how much that person has hurt you or injured you, do not take revenge. Do not be malicious. Do not lay traps for others. You will reap what you sow. Your actions will come back to haunt you. Instead, use your life and energy to serve God, to serve people, instead of spending all your life being revengeful and malicious. Verse 9 takes us to the quarries and the forest. He who quarries stone is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. We may think that such constructive activities are harmless, quarrying stones and splitting logs in the jungle. We may think these very constructive activities are harmless, but careless people have been injured cutting stones and splitting logs. So I watched this program, I'm sure you have seen it as well, on Discovery Channel, on how a demolition team blasted a granite quarry. And so proper procedures were taken as the explosives were laid. And let me assure you, when they set off the explosive, let me assure you, none of the demolition crew was still there. They are far away before they set off the explosion. So you don't set up the explosion when some of your team members are still there. So they take heed to this warning in scripture. Wisdom gives us the insight and the perception, and especially the ability to sense danger ahead of time and therefore take proper precaution. This may apply to the different areas that we serve within the church. We make decision to look into the future. We don't look at the near future, but we look a few steps ahead so that we know what is to come and we make preparation for that. So talking about quarry, sometime back, there was this man, this happened in Singapore. A man died while climbing the Bukit Timah Hill Quarry, and he lost his footing at the early phase of the climb, when he was only about 20 feet above the ground. So it's not very high, not more than 100 feet, just 20 feet above the ground. He lost his footing. He hit the ground and he died. This happened in Singapore. Why did this man die? He did not wear a safety helmet. He could still be alive today if only he had wore a safety helmet. So if you are riding on a motorbike or a bicycle on the road, you better wear a helmet. And this part of what here is what Solomon is saying. The next picture in verse 10 gives an example of impetuous haste. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. The person here is so anxious to get on with the job that he just went ahead and tried to cut down this tree with a blunt axe. When your axe is blunt, you can use a lot of strength, but nothing much happened. If only he had invested a little time sharpening his axe, then he would have gotten the job done half the time or maybe even less. Similarly today, many Christians also plunge into ministry without the proper equipping and preparation. As a result, they are not effective at all. They may expend a lot of energy and not effective. And then slightest problem, they quit. No preparation, no time taken to ensure proper preparation. Time spent in preparation is really worth it, brothers and sisters. I want you to know that. And it will make our task so much easier, so much more productive in the long run. And a wise person always sharpens his tools, prepare his tools properly. A sharp axe is the answer, not brute force. Sometimes we think that a lot of energy helps. No, the little preparation is very important. In fact, in this time of COVID-19, when many of us stay home and work from home, it is a good time to equip ourselves. And there are so many opportunities around where we can equip ourselves to become better. And so take full use of this opportunity. Verse 11 presents quite a humorous sight. And most of us have seen a snake charmer at work. So verse 11 says, if the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. To imagine this snake charmer getting ready to play his flute to charm the snake. I did some research into it. Actually, it's not so much the music, but it's more the movement of the hands that the snake went through. I don't know how true that is. So this snake charmer, he was wanting to, you know, excite the crowd with his skill in charming this snake. But while he was talking to the crowd about how he would charm the snake, it crossed out of the basket and bit him. I can imagine the spectators laughing their heart out. He claimed to be able to charm the snake, but instead he got bitten. So what Solomon is saying is that we must think ahead. We must always think ahead. So what can the snake charmer do to think ahead? Perhaps he can ensure that the basket is properly secured. Don't be so careless before it is time for the snake to perform. He must ensure that the snake is secure in the basket. So I hope this is a practical example for us in our life, as in our work, in our ministry. Then fourthly, watch what we say. Verses 12 to 14. Let me read verse 12 to 14. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his thought is evil madness. A fool multiplies his word, though no man knows what is to be. And who can tell him what will be after him? The wise person speaks gracious words that are suited to the listeners and the occasion. Whether in personal conversation or public ministry, The wise man knows the right thing to say at the right time. The wise brings healing by what he says and what he affirms. I like this verse in Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Can you imagine this picture in my mind? It's like apples of gold in setting of silver. It's a beautiful, exquisite picture of saying the right things. The Apostle Paul exhorts us that we are not to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, but only that which is edifying, that builds people up, and that gives grace to people who hear. So our words are important. So that's part of wisdom, and to guard against foolishness. What we say is very important, especially those of us who are in position of leadership. The more important it is, because we say the wrong words, it has a great impact, negative impact. By contrast, the fool simply just blurs out whatever is on his mind, does not stop to consider who might be hurt by what he says. So what the fool says does not make sense. And the longer he talks, the crazier he becomes. The source of foolish talk is really traced to the inner character of the person. It usually starts with foolish talk and it ends with wicked madness. It's a kind of irrationality which is morally perverse. And so sometimes you see these people who are in position of authority, they are fools, what they talk or have serious repercussion in society. Not only does the fool talk nonsense, he also talks too much. A fool multiplies words. A fool is boastful. He claims to know all about the future. He speaks with such conviction. And yet the fact is that he knows nothing about the present, let alone the future. Even the present, he doesn't know. How can he boast about the future? We have all heard this saying, it is much better to keep silent and let everybody think you are a fool than to open your mouth and then remove all doubt. People think it's okay, but don't let them confirm it. We can't stop people from thinking, but don't affirm what they think. Number 5, we are coming to the end really. Guard against laziness. Verse 15, the toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. Here the subject matter passes from the fool's speech to his actions. The root of his problem, the fool, is sheer laziness. Any form of work, the fool finds wearisome, and therefore it results in his total incompetence. He does not even know the way to town. Can you imagine? Do you know, ask your neighbor, do you know the way to town? If he does not, that means a fool. We all know the way to town, but the fool, he does not even know the way to town. Everyone knows the way to town. It is basic information available to everybody. By instinct, we know how to get to town. If he really did not know, the fool, he could have asked around. But that is not something a fool would do. He does not really want to know the way to town because he doesn't want to take the extra effort to get there. Verses 16 and 17 warns us against the influence of laziness that seeps down from the people at the top to set the tone for the entire community. Let me read verses 16 and 17. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. When do princes feast? What time of the day usually? It's in the evening, after they have done their work. But here, in this country, the princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of noble of the nobility, and your princes feast at the proper time, not for selfish indulgence or sexual indulgence, but for strength and not for drunkenness. So this is a very good verse for us to bear in mind. One characteristic of foolish leaders is indulgence, food and wine. And here we see lazy leaders using public funds for their own selfish purpose, throwing parties and having a good time. Every now and then we hear about this happening all around the world. You hear some of these things happening. It's really amazing. Some of these leaders, they set very strong restrictions that you cannot do a lot of things because of COVID-19, but they're out there partying themselves until they get found out, you know. Yeah, everybody knows what they do. So that's what they are doing. So that's what a foolish leader does. However, when a wise leader is in charge, his officers eat at the proper time and for the correct purpose, not at inappropriate time. Another characteristic of fools is, verse 18, is idleness. Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. What happens when you see your roof or your ceiling sagging and leaking? And what do you do? Do you just not do anything about it? When I first came to the office, our office ceiling was what? And Linda and John did a good job, get it done. And when it is leaking, you don't do anything about it because you want to save some money. In the end, you have to spend more money because the damage will be much greater. The damage can become more extensive. What would originally have been a little effort in repairing with a relatively low cost would later become a massive renovation job. So when your ceiling is leaking at home, do something about it before worse things happen. That's what verse 18 says. Verse 19 should not be taken out of context. I want to explain this. If you read out context, you may mean a different thing. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life. And money answers everything. So I don't want you to come and say, hey, Pastor, can you say money answers everything? In the context, it means differently, okay? So Solomon is still talking about the lazy fool. Because of his laziness, the fool continues to indulge in food and wine. And because he has the money to eat and drink, he thinks that money is the answer to everything. Until, of course, his money runs out. And there are stories about people actually, you know, who strike lottery in other parts of the world. And our Singapore lottery is a very small amount. Over there, it can be 200 million kind of thing, you know. And within a few years, all their money gone. Because once you are rich, you also have leeches around you who suck the money out of you. So here in this context, the fool thinks money answers everything. Actually, it does not. That is a proverb we all know. A fool and his money will soon part. You know, were soon gone. They will soon part, you know, be separated. And then finally, the final step. Respect those in authority. Verse 20. This one, another step to guard against foolishness. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, and some winged creature tell the matter. And here we are cautioned against unwise criticism of those in authority. Not even in your thought, because in your thought, what you say, what you think may inevitably blurt out sometimes, then you are in trouble. It's not against freedom of speech, okay, but it's more of what is unnecessary, okay, insubordination. You see, the fool's lack of discretion is liable to lead him into all sorts of trouble. Because he cannot control his tongue, his inner thoughts are bound to seep out and be reported to higher authorities, and therefore land himself in serious trouble. So what we say in confidence often has a way of traveling through the grapevine. Especially nowadays, sometimes we think that all these things are very safe. Even the US military secret, they can hack. So I don't always believe that all this thing is encrypted. And we must be very careful with our words, and especially in the respect of talking behind someone else's back. And so this reminds me of a little poem about wisdom. I remember during my P6, when we leave our primary six school, and then later on sec four, and also during JC days when we leave, we sign each other for the autograph. And this is the one that I often use. I want to share with you this words of wisdom. This is the one I always sign in my classmates' autograph book. If wisdom's way you truly seek, five things observe with care. Of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. So our words spoken at the right time about the right people is very important. Brothers and sisters, are there signs of foolishness in your life? It's something I hope you can think about throughout this week. Remember, foolishness stings, foolishness strays, and foolishness shows. If one of these three signs are somewhere in your life, I think it's time to take time off, go for a personal retreat, and in God's presence, set those things right. And we cannot just ignore them. Honestly confess them before God and seek His forgiveness so that our heart begin to incline back to the right. And plead earnestly for the blood of Christ, like what we did this today with observing the Lord's Supper. The blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin so that our heart can go back to the right. Let us depend upon the Holy Spirit's enabling to guard us against foolishness. Let us exercise self-control, learn from our mistakes, think before we act, especially when it's a major decision. Watch what we say. Guard against laziness. And especially, I don't know, maybe because of this COVID thing, some of us have grown lazy. Even coming to church is a challenge. Even stepping out of a house is a challenge. And we must really guard against that. And respect those in authority. And finally, remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your word. A lot of insights for us to digest. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will bring home the truth to our hearts so that in our life, in our service for you, we may exhibit godly wisdom. Lord, we must confess that in some areas of our life and ministry, we have gone awry, we have gone astray, and we seek your forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you that through the blood of Christ, we can have our hearts be inclined to the right again. So help us, O Lord, we pray. Be merciful to us, O Lord. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit continue to lead us and guide us. Forgive us for grieving your Spirit through sin, especially willful sin in our life. So that the Holy Spirit's prompting may once again be clearly heard in our life. For your glory and for your honor. And may God's people now receive the Lord's benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and guidance of His Holy Spirit be with each one of us from now on till we see our Lord Jesus again. Amen.